Just so you're not confused, I actually am at the state now after 13 years at King County, which is kind of an advantage for me because the people I used to supervise at King County still feel like they need to report to me. I'd like to talk a little bit about, an overview of our measles outbreak that occurred in Grant County, which is a county in central Washington, which is a more rural area, last summer, and talk a little bit about the roles of the state and local communicable disease sections in our state, and talk about the Grant County Index case having been exposed in a large event in an urban setting, and the mobility of our cases while they were contagious, and then a discussion of some of our control efforts. So this is just measles in Washington, and it follows very closely the measles epidemiology in the United States. You can see our resurgence in the upper graph, which has a scale of 360 cases. And in the lower graph, the scale is 20 cases, and we almost had to get a new graph last summer because we had 19 cases in Grant County. On April 28th of last year, the Grant County Health District reported 8 suspect cases to our state health department. These were 8 children living in one household. The onset of the index cases in the household, the rash onset was April 12th, and the other 7 siblings had had onsets of rash between April 18th and April 21st. The only reason that the first 3 children were seen and reported is they had apparent complications, and they were actually diagnosed 2 with pneumonia, and 1 had thrombocytopenia. But the physician did recognize measles, had seen it from working in other countries, and called me. We got the serum specimens over the next day and confirmed measles in the public health lab over in Seattle, which is in the urban side of the state. 11 additional cases were reported by early June, and all but one of them were in minor children between the ages of 9 months and 18 years. Of 16 school-aged children in this outbreak, none had received any doses of measles-containing vaccine prior to their onset. And the parents of these children had chosen to exempt them from vaccines, most of them from all vaccines, because of the philosophical exemption available to them in Washington. Interestingly, none of these cases were public school students. 11 of the children were homeschooled, and 5 were faith-based schools. None of the children, the 2 preschool-age children, were in a daycare setting. And we had 1 adult, 23 years of age. Interestingly, I'll just mention that this person, the adult, had 2 doses of MMR by history. However, he had a history of splenectomy, and on his initial serology, he was IgG negative. So the ages of our cases fell very predominantly into the 11 to 18-year-old category. Few of the school children were 5 to 10. This is a look at the onset of the cases. You can see a couple places where we may have missed some cases that just never presented for diagnosis. And if you'll look over to the left of the chart, we actually had 2 people who may have been the co-index cases for the outbreak. Interestingly, they both had attended the same event in King County. And this is just a look at the cases by lab confirmation. There were several factors to, we're usually a little bit better about having more complete lab confirmation of our cases, but for several reasons, a lot of our cases in this outbreak were epi-linked. For example, the co-index case that I mentioned, who you see in blue on the left there, we didn't find out about her till about a month into the outbreak. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the roles of the state and the counties in Washington. CDIS, which is Communicable Disease Epidemiology Section at the state, our role in outbreaks, we provide written guidelines for all the 35 local health jurisdictions to use, and we serve as consultants to the local disease investigators. In addition, we facilitate rapid testing of specimens at the public health lab, which we are housed in the public health lab. It's different from some states, but it's really a convenient setup for us. We really love being in the lab. And we do assume the lead in multi-jurisdictional outbreaks. However, the Grant County outbreak was only within one county, so one jurisdiction, and they kept the lead in the outbreak. In addition, we oversee the use of our public health electronic reporting database. We do assign the final case classifications by which cases are reported to CDC, and then we analyze statewide data. The 35 local health jurisdictions under Washington state law are the entities to which notifiable conditions must be reported. The authority then under state law rests with each local health jurisdiction. And the local health officer has autonomy in terms of decisions on management of reported cases and the recommendations that are made to the healthcare providers within the jurisdiction. So the reporting requirements for measles, healthcare providers, hospitals, and laboratories are required to immediately notify the local health jurisdiction. But then once it's been reported, the local health jurisdiction is required to immediately notify CDEPI. The responsibilities for measles investigations for the local health jurisdiction are to begin immediately the investigation, report all confirmed, probable, and suspect cases immediately, and facilitate the transportation of specimens to the public health lab for diagnosis. And I'll mention this later because the Grant County folks kind of went above and beyond themselves on that one. And to isolate the case until 4 days after the rash onset, unless the diagnosis is ruled out. They are to identify the case, the contacts, and the potential sites of transmission. And this became important in King County because although the cases were from Grant County, the possible sites of transmission were not in, some of them were not in that county. They're also tasked with making appropriate recommendations to susceptible contacts and conducting enhanced surveillance for additional cases. And then they are required only to complete a case report form for the confirmed cases and entering that into PHMS. And we only report confirmed cases into NNDSS. Our role at the state is to consult with the health jurisdictions about the likelihood of the diagnosis, approve and facilitate rapid diagnostic testing, and lead the outbreak when two or more jurisdictions have reported cases. And then in addition, we notify other states or countries about any findings, and I'll speak about that in a moment, but any findings in the investigation which may be of concern, and then we serve as a liaison with CDC. In investigating the source of this outbreak, four of the cases attended a large, the Triple X, we'll call it the Triple X Church Conference in King County. It was held March 27th, 28th, and 29th, and if you remember, the first case was reported to us April 28th. Over 3,000 people attended from 18 states and 5 countries. The countries are listed here, and then within Canada, we had people from 4 provinces. And then here are the states that had attendees at this conference. The activities related to the conference, the state did an EpiX posting on April 1st, and then we did do an update on May 1st, getting the word out to all the states. And then just Interestingly enough, we have, because of our location, a very close relationship with BC, and they monitor all our listservs, and so we did quite a bit of work with British Columbia around this outbreak. Then the LHJ responsibility, if you remember, is to identify contacts and potential sites of transmission. So Public Health Seattle King County is the jurisdictional authority where the event was held. So King County worked very closely with the event organizers and the attorney for the church. There was a lot of concern in terms of any liability for notifying people about possible exposures. And they were able to do, along with help from the church, a mailing to all church members and attendees. And they sent a letter and a measles fact sheet. They did find out about a conference attendee who had a rash. She was a Japanese national, and she had planned to attend all 3 days. But she developed a rash the evening of the second day. And all of the attendees, these 3,000 people who were from out of town, were housed in private homes around King County. And once she developed the rash, she stayed home. King County did learn that her brother had been clinically diagnosed with measles prior to her arrival in the U.S., but he had never been tested. And the girl had received an MMR because of her brother's clinical diagnosis just before leaving. We weren't able to get the date of that MMR. She was well on the flight home and sought no follow-up medical care. And because they were trusted by the church folks, the church facilitated conversations with two people in Japan for the King County epidemiologists, and they were able to learn this info. So was the church conference the source of the measles exposure? We feel that we had a pretty thorough notification of all the attendees and the jurisdictions where they resided. No measles cases were reported from any non-Grant County residents who attended this event. So there is some possibility that an unreported person with measles visited Grant County in the 7 to 21 days before the onset of the first case. The kids who were involved in this outbreak were kids that had a lot of social activities together around their faith-based congregation at home. In addition to the conference, you'll note the dates here again. Our first case was reported on the 28th. The cases were reported on the 28th, and we were doing the lab testing the 29th. On that day, a school field trip from Grant County with two vans came over to King County. One of the children on that trip had a rash onset on April 30th. She didn't see a healthcare provider until May 2nd. At that point, the specimen was driven 185 miles over Snoqualmie Pass to the state public health lab. And most of those, when I showed you the graph of the lab-confirmed specimens, almost every one of those, the first three were driven over, and then each additional case, someone from Grant County made the drive to the public health lab to facilitate rapid diagnosis. Measles was confirmed on May 2nd, and we had notified Public Health Seattle King County. May 2nd was a Friday. I don't know how it works, but it does happen every time. So we had let King County know ahead of time that we were testing a specimen on a child that had been at multiple sites in King County. The sites visited were a restaurant in Issaquah, which is the first community that you get to when you're coming across the mountains on I-90 towards Seattle, the Experience Music Project and Science Fiction Museum in downtown Seattle at the Seattle Center, a fast food restaurant, and then on the way home, Indian John Hill Rest Area on I-90. There was a press release done on May 3rd. It was a joint release between DOH and Public Health Seattle King County. This was a Saturday. It listed the exposure sites, dates, and times. King County put up a hotline message, and public notices were posted that day at the exposure sites, and they also had a website hot topic message. And as I said, the majority of this was weekend work in the county that didn't have any cases. At the restaurant, four employees required follow-up. Three thought they were immunized but couldn't produce records, and one was born in Mexico and thought he had measles as a child. They educated the staff about symptoms and did check-ins with them until the incubation period was gone, and posted notices at the restaurant for one incubation period. At the Experience Music Project, they identified 33 employees with possible exposure. Most of them were able to produce documentation of at least one dose of vaccine, but there was one person with no vaccine history, and a King County staff member was sent to the site to do an on-site venipuncture, and follow-up testing did show immunity, and public notices were also posted there. And then at the fast food restaurant, they did follow up with 12 employees. One was 2 months pregnant. The serology obtained for her verified immunity. And then one staff member became ill with a cough, runny nose, and fever within the incubation period. And they went to her home, kept her home, went to her home, and drew blood, and drew blood on her five roommates. And they were all immune, and public notices were posted. And then finally, one of the Grant County cases decided to be in Oregon at the time of onset, in Portland, in the Multnomah County and Washington County area. She was a 16-month-old child, unimmunized. Her rash onset was May 10th, and she had, traveling with her, siblings 3 years of age and 4 months of age. The local health departments there did home visits to obtain specimens and give immune globulin, and the specimens were forwarded to Washington Public Health Lab for confirmation. The Oregon officials detained the family in Oregon until an incubation had passed and the case was no longer contagious, and then until the incubation period had passed. And the siblings did not develop a rash. The four-month-old received IG, and the three-month-old received an MMR. So in conclusion, rural residents do travel to nearby urban centers, and they may be required to conduct a lot of urgent disease control activities when they haven't had any cases. And the urban center nearest to some locations may be in a different state. And the state health department has a coordinating role in assuring that communication happens between all these jurisdictions. I'd like to acknowledge a whole lot of people in a whole lot of places who helped with this outbreak.
Staff, we'll go ahead and take questions now. We have a few minutes for questions if anybody has a question. I guess I'll start with one. While anybody else might get up. Chaz, I was wondering, you had said at the beginning that most of the cases had exemptions to vaccination, and many of them were also homeschooled. Are homeschoolers required to have exemption to vaccine? Is there a requirement for vaccination from homeschoolers? Did they have to have an exemption, or did they just weren't vaccinated because they're homeschoolers?
Homeschooling is kind of an interesting process, at least in Washington State. They do have to sign up, and they are under the auspices of a certain school district. And as long as they don't attend any events on the grounds of the school facilities, there's no requirement that pertains to them. But a lot of the homeschoolers will come in for a class, and as soon as they come onto the grounds, then the school entry requirements apply. That's just, it gets tricky, but, I will mention one other thing that's interesting. We have really learned not to make presumptions about particular groups of people in other words, we don't think that all homeschoolers don't immunize, because that's just not the case. Plenty of them don't, but plenty of them do. So we try to be real careful about not stereotyping.
Thank you. First question.
Hi, quick question. The family that was quarantined in Oregon, How did you make sure that they stayed put and did not expose anyone?
The family was quarantined in Oregon. I should have Oregon answer that.
Just a quick question. You mentioned the above and beyond measures taken to transport specimens. Does your state public health lab offer like courier service from your local health departments, like on a daily basis, routine courier service for specimen collection, specimen pickup?
Is your question, is there routine testing at the state lab in addition?
Routine specimen pickup from the local health department?
We do have routine couriers. Within King County, there's a north route and a south route that routes around the county, and they bring it into the King County. King County does have their own lab, and we have a once-a-day run drop-off and pickup from King County. We use the buses a lot for... If it's a not routine, we will put specimens on the bus and bring them over to the lab. And we have a contract with Greyhound that if the specimen arrives by 9:30 in the morning, they drive it out. And then anything between then and 2:30 will be driven out again at 2:30. And then everything else comes again the next morning at 9:30. But we use a lot of the regular labs like Quest and LabCorp. They have runs into the lab, and we route a lot of specimens around routinely.